But first, for our top story this morning, we are headed over to Clarissa Haas, who's got a really interesting piece of news coming out this morning about a trucking company that has decided to go bankrupt right as it was getting ready to fight in court over wrongful death. Clarissa, go ahead and tell us about what's going on with this situation and if this is a cop-out to get out of a lawsuit.
Well, it's still unclear. Attorneys for the company JJ Transport, based out of Clint, Texas, they didn't really respond to requests for comment, but the trial had been delayed multiple times leading up to the decision to file for Chapter 7, like to liquidate instead of, filing a Chapter 11 or something else. But it had been delayed multiple times since the lawsuit had been filed in 2017.
So for some background on this, can you tell us a little bit about what happened with the wrongful death lawsuit and why it was in place in the first place?
Sure. And it is a sad story. And it was like during Houston had some record flooding and Pedro Vascon Morales, he was 61 and he was, dispatched to drive a load to Houston, Texas. And from court documents, multiple times he had checked in and said, "Hey, weather's bad. Do you want me to continue?" And was told, yes, it had to be there. It had to be in Harris County. And so he continued on his route. And locals call this area, this underpass, the pit. And for some reason, he drove into flooding waters and that the levels rose up to like 20 feet. And Good Samaritans tried to rescue him, but he unfortunately drowned in his cab while the attempts to rescue him were ongoing. And so his widow, daughter and son, filed a wrongful death lawsuit nearly a year after the crash happened. And since that time, there's been several attempts, depositions and requests for documentation, and it's kind of stalled.
So yes, a very sad story there with that lawsuit, but the decision now of the trucking company to file for bankruptcy, and as you mentioned, that liquidation form of bankruptcy instead. Is there a legal precedent for if they are underneath the scrutiny of a lawsuit and you decide to file for bankruptcy, does the lawsuit just go away? Does that responsibility shift elsewhere? What happens in this type of situation?
It stayed for now. It just stops, the proceedings from going forward. And sometimes if there's civil complaints, civil lawsuits, in some cases, the owners of the company have not responded either for comments. But typically it stays pending. Once a trustee is appointed in the case, then, they'll move forward with the liquidation process. And then it'll be, the wait and see to find out if the family will receive any money or if the proceedings will go forward once the bankruptcy has been completed.
So then final thoughts before we head into our second story of the morning. Let's talk a little bit about the reasoning behind filing the bankruptcy for the trucking company itself. Was it the blame on market conditions or was it something else that was just kind of hidden in the language?
It really, it's really unclear, when they said that they list their assets of up to $500,000, but list their liabilities, of $100 million to $500 million, and so that, typically those are nuclear verdicts, that are assessed in these cases. And so I don't know if that was the thought process going in. Their bankruptcy attorney did not respond, but, just covering all bases, going to the max that this was the liabilities that they were facing.
It's going to be interesting to see how this situation plays out. And also interesting in the courts as we finally have a wrap on former Slink CEO Chris Kirchner and the decision from him to be sentenced. Can you go ahead and tell us what happened now going forward? Or sorry, he was convicted, not sentenced yet.
Right. Well, yeah, everybody, we've been following this story for a long time, you know, involving Chris Kirchner. You know, at the time when I was here, you know, it was, you know, he was looking to buy an English soccer team. He liked the Dallas Stars. He had a luxury suite there, and their name was on like the Zamboni, you know, at the rink. And he was, you know, doing all these things and had received, you know, the Goldman Sachs, you know, backed their, you know, money, at, you know, like their funding. And so they received a significant amount of money. And somehow in the course of that, you know, what the court and what the jury found was that the money that was, you know, for the company to grow its business and to continue product development, instead that money was, you know, transferred into wired into accounts that he controlled. And so during the course, we found that he did buy a $16 million plane and watches and cars, like, you know, just luxury living. And instead of, you know, instead of using that funds to make payroll, you know, he was bankrolling kind of a luxury lifestyle.
So he has now been convicted of those wire fraud charges. And the interesting thing was that his defense was actually arguing for him to be held on bail and held outside of the jail before between his sentencing. But that wasn't quite the case. The district court judge in Texas decided to take him into custody. Can you tell us why that happened?
Well, in cases when they typically do that, it's a flight risk. They pose a flight risk or a danger to society in some way. And in this case, most likely it was, you know, that maybe he had means to, you know, you know, and so they wanted to make sure that he, you know, was being held until sentencing, which is set for July. But it's been an interesting case to follow, you know, for several years. We've been covering it.
So we will likely have the resolution of that, as you mentioned, in July with that sentencing. As far as penalties go, what is he looking at facing in terms of maximum sentences, possible restitution and fines as well?
Well, he's facing up to 20 years per count on the wire fraud. So the jury convicted him of 4 counts of wire fraud and 10 years per count on the money laundering, which they found another 4 counts on that. So he is facing, you know, depending on how things go, a significant amount of jail time. But, you know, you never know in white collar cases, you know, how that goes. It seems the better lawyer you have, you know, maybe sometimes the less time you serve in these cases.
Yep, I would argue that tends to be the way that things go. Clarissa, thank you for joining us this morning and for the coverage on both of these stories. And where can we find you?
CHawes at FreightWaves.com, or you can find me on Twitter, and it's Cage_Writer. So reach out. I always love new tips and stories ideas.
All right, Clarissa, thank you for that. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Kaylee.
All right, we're going to head on over to The Wall. We've got our first carrier update this morning with Tony Mulvey and Donnie Gilbert.